Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're continuing our study here in the Gospel according to Mark. And basically, what we do here is just go through the scripture. And of course, because I'm behind the mic, I get to comment as I please or as the Holy Spirit moves. And I really hope that's the way it is. And I realize that most people will probably never in their lifetime sit down and read the whole scripture or read the whole Bible. And perhaps some few will listen. Some people perhaps are too tired or work too hard or for whatever reason never have an opportunity to crack the book. And I'm just hoping that some people, while they're working during their day, are able to listen and perhaps glean something from it. My real hope is that some of you will actually get out your Bibles or get out your e-sword and follow along if you're able to do that, or at least start a family tradition of putting your Bible, your authorized King James Version, on your kitchen table and perhaps read a chapter or 10 verses before your family meal. Or perhaps have some select verses that you will memorize. At my table, we actually sing a hymn or a chorus or something like that. I like some of the old hymns. I have some favorites that we can learn that way before we have a meal. So there are several things you can do. Have memory verses that you recite before a meal. And it can be kind of fun too, especially the young ones like it. They'll have their favorite verses, and you'll call for a verse, and you'll probably, depending on how many people you have around your table, you'll get several suggestions because everyone's want to do their favorite one. And of course, you may give in to one of those suggestions, or you may say, why don't we learn this one, or we need to work on this one a little bit more, and perhaps have a memory verse and a hymn that you sing at least during one meal around your table on a daily basis, if you can get to a daily meal. So it's just some things you can do to bring the Word of God into your life and learn a little bit. Because our Heavenly Father, He said, my Word will not come back to me void. So we need to get it in there anywhere we can. If you have a job where you can listen to an iPod, go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and find the links there. You can find these entire studies there. If they're not there, they will be uploaded there soon after the study is done. But you can find entire studies there in MP3 format. Download them all to your iPod, take them to work, and you can listen to them privately or broadcast them if you're able to do that in that type of work atmosphere, depending on the type of work atmosphere you have. And you can listen. And if you don't like my voice, well, you probably aren't listening anyway. But you can download MP3 Bible reading all the time. Some of it is fairly monotonous because they kind of go on, and monotonous means monotonous with one tone, with little inflection. You can get that too if you just want the bland Word of God. But it's all out there. Just get it in your brain, get it in your mind, and get it in your heart, and persist. Don't stop. That's like one illustration that the pastor at the church at Kuia this weekend in his sermon, he talked about the Word of God is like a hammer hitting a rock. And that's what it's like. You have to keep working at it. And you think that our head is the rock. Any of you out there hard-headed like me? But eventually the rock will crack and the Word will get in. So just let the hammer keep hitting the rock, and it'll eventually get in. And that's our admonition, to persist and to allow the Word of God into our life and to not desist from it, but just let the hammer keep hitting the rock. Just keep bringing it in every day. Keep listening to this Bible study program, any Bible study program. Get the Word of God, set it on your table, open it up, find a few verses. Start with Psalm 1. That's a great memory one. Romans 8:28, and read on to the end of the chapter, or 10 verses there, and memorize those great memory verses, things we need to understand and have them as a part of our life. For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Because whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His only begotten Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:28, 29, 30, whatever it is, just memorize it, and they become part of who you are. And eventually they sink in and they start to have effect in your life. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. These things become a part of your mind, the part of the way you think. And pretty soon, after a while, the rock begins to crack. Our hard head, it begins to seep into our hard head and to melt our hearts and have an effect on the way we live. And then it's not just faith, but it's works. And then people are able to see our faith by our works. It becomes evident that we are the sons of God. So my admonition, and from my pastor this weekend in his sermon, that yes, the Word of God is like the hammer hitting the rock. Just have to let it keep hitting the rock. Just let it persist and never let it go out of your life. Just keep it and persist at it, and it will have the desired effect. The rock will crack and our lives will change. Let's continue here. So, certain of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" But there's their clue. See, they knew the Word of God. They knew that only God could forgive sins. So they should have reasoned, either this is the Son of God, either the day of visitation has come, either this is the messenger of the covenant. Oh, they knew what blasphemy was, but did they understand the prophecy? Did they understand that the messenger of the covenant was there? That he was there to confirm the covenant for that week, for 1 week? Remember, he clearly knew what his mission was, to confirm the covenant in Israel for that 1 week, the last week that the Heavenly Father would work with Israel as a covenant people. After that, well, we find out what happens. The gospel goes to the nations, and the oracles of God go into the language of nations, or the international language, which is why we have it in Greek. That's just a clue for you there of where we're going, if you don't already know that. So they're reasoning, and Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, and he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," he saith to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way to thine house." So first he says, your sins are forgiven. And they reason, saying, is this man blaspheming? Who is this man? Who does he think he is? Blaspheming. And he says, it's the same thing. If I forgive their sins, or if I say, take up your bed and walk, it's the same thing. So he turns around, he says, take up your bed. Go your way to your house. And immediately he arose, he took up his bed, and went forth before them all. Insomuch they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And like I said, these scribes and these Pharisees, they'd been going in and out of that synagogue all their lives. They knew that man, that sick of the palsy. They knew that man was a paraplegic, that he was paralyzed. You don't fake being paralyzed. as a lot of the people who read it now go, oh, that, you know, that guy was just faking it. Nobody would fake that. That is not a desirable way to live, to sit on a litter and beg for a living before the temple or before the synagogue. That is not a desirable life. Now, we have professionals out there today, and they sit at the on and off ramps of the freeway, some of them, and they beg for money. They're not paraplegic. They have an umbrella if it's raining, and they have a sign, and they're out there because, frankly, some of them can make more money standing out there in a day than they can by actually getting a real job. And some of them can't find a real job, so that is their job. Not the same thing. You know, you don't become a professional paraplegic, but you can become a professional panhandler. Big difference there. So he took his bed, he glorified God, and all of the people glorified God. And he went forth again by the seaside, speaking of Yahshua, Jesus the Messiah. His name in the Hebrew would be Yahshua, the name above all names, being the name of God, of course, as a prefix. And I notice that another difference about the name of Yahshua is his name, is the name of God was a prefix to his name, whereas most of the others that had the name of God was a suffix, and that being on the end of the name rather than at the beginning of the name. So there's a little difference there for what it's worth. And like I said, being, it's not a distraction for me because, you know, biblical studies. So that's what I do. And so all of these things are interesting to me, and they all have meaning. You know, which part of the Word of God doesn't have meaning? Well, the deeper we dig and the more time we spend studying, the more meaning we find in it. So I will persist in my biblical studies here, regardless of what others say. So Jesus, Yahshua, he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him. And he taught them. And he passed by and saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said to him, unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And I believe that he's talking about Matthew here, the Levi, the son of Alphaeus. I believe that would be Matthew, although he calls him Levi here. I guess we can clarify this if it becomes clarified. He says, follow him. And he arose and followed him. So he left his tax collecting. You know, that's not got to be a fun job. And, you know, most people that do that do it for money. I mean, who says, man, you know, when I grow up, I want to work for the IRS. Oh, who says that? I can't even imagine anyone saying, having that, you know. I mean, I hear I want to be a baseball player. I want to be a fireman. I hear things like that, but I can't imagine anyone saying that, you know, I want to be a tax collector. So anyway, here's Levi definitely saying that this is a Hebrew man with a name like Levi who has gone over to work for the government and for the IRS of the day and is collecting taxes for the foreign government. I look around me today and I see that, I see we're in the same condition as Israel was at the time. And, you know, it really should not be a surprise to us that we're in the same condition. And here I'm going to jump back into prophecy to show you that we're in the same condition. If you go back to Daniel chapter 2, you see that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And in his dream vision, he dreamed of an image. Of course, the head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar, representing the Babylonian Empire. And as you move down the image to the feet, to the legs and thighs of iron, you had the Roman Empire. And you'll see that there's nothing following the Roman Empire. There's no other metal given. The Roman Empire becomes broken and exists until the end, not in the same capacity as it did in the beginning, but in a broken capacity. And that's the condition we're in today. We still have it. we are living under the exact same conditions because we are occupied by the Roman Empire in a diminished capacity. The Holy Roman Empire, which denotes the rule of the papacy, was blatantly in our faces in history in the 1260-year period that ended in 1798, I believe it was, 1798, when Napoleon went in and took the Pope captive, and they suffered the loss of their dominance in the world for a short period of time. I believe they have come back with a vengeance, although I think they've learned to hide their authority and their ruling in the world today. But we still have it. The prophecy says we have it, so we should be looking for what the scripture says we have. And we have the Roman Empire broken, divided up, but it's still here. Because we have the iron mingled with the clay. And it says, in the days of these kings, of course, speaking of the broken Roman Empire, the divided Roman Empire, Daniel's prophecy says, in the days of these kings, I will build a kingdom which will never end. So that's the clay mingled with the iron. And voila, here we are. Ever since the Messiah came and established his church, and not any church denomination or any other earthly government, but his church. And here we are. He's been establishing and he planted a kingdom that will never end. And all those that came apart before are part of that kingdom too, that will never end. They are part of his church. The same word ecclesia was used by the preacher to name that book that he wrote called Ecclesiastes. And I believe that Adam and Eve were a part of that church. And if you haven't watched my video, it's just a short video and explains it a little more detail. One of the main themes of that video there you'll find on the homepage of my website, crosstheborder.org, is the church from the beginning, from Adam and Eve until today. But he says, in that day, I will build a church that will never end. So we know the end. We know that when the kingdom of God, when he comes back, that the image will be struck in the feet and it will be totally obliterated and his kingdom will fill the whole earth. So I'm glad to be a part of that. And that's why I want to be here as long as I can. Don't have an escapist, futurist fantasy mentality. That I just want to get it over with. Jesus, come back today, and to hell with my posterity. That's not my attitude at all. And though a lot of those futurists would never put it that way, that is truly what their attitude is: to hell with the future, to hell with my grandchildren, and to hell with my great great grandchildren and all of those that will follow, because I just want to get the out of here. Because Jesus is coming back any day, and I don't have to go through any more the trials and tribulations of this life. Now, it seems to me they're spending too much time focusing on the trials and the tribulations of this life rather than keeping their eyes on the Messiah. There's that song, keep your eyes upon Jesus, keep them fixed on his face, and all the cares of this life will pass away, you know, will dimly fade. However it goes, I don't have it before me, but you get the idea. So anyway, he's passing by Levi, and he says, follow me, and he leaves. His tax collecting days are over. He leaves the IRS. You know what? He's through. No more 1040 Inquisition forms for him. He's leaving it all behind. He's not accounting to the Roman government anymore. He's done. You could imagine, you know, how their bureaucracy must have liked that. You know, here's the man who's bringing them the bacon. Collecting taxes. And of course he keeps whatever he can collect over what is due to the Roman government, to the IRS of his day. And he just ups and leaves. That's it. You can imagine the turmoil You up and leave them today, and boy, they don't like it. You know, they bring the full force of the law against you. I've seen it happen. It happens today, and I'm sure it, you know, it wasn't any different back then. Anyway, he just up and leaves. Yeah, I'm sure he forsook whatever number they gave him. Yes, is their socialist security number the Roman Empire gave him to collect taxes and all of the accounting. He just up and left it all. And, you know, I would say that I would advise anyone else out there working for the beast, working for Rome, because remember, Rome is the beast. That's right. You go back, you go to Revelation, and you'll see the beast, you know, with the woman riding it. It's the beast. It has 7 heads and 10 horns. You know, there's their successive ruling powers that rule over the beast, but they're still on the beast. And we know the beast is Rome. So with whatever heads and horns are in vogue at the time, and with the whore riding on it, but the beast is still Rome. And here Levi was working for the beast. That's right. And he was accounting for them and collecting taxes for them, and that's how he made his living. And he up and he forsook it all. And, you know, I believe the Heavenly Father would have anyone working for the beast, because I don't know, how could you justify stealing, forcing charity on your neighbor? Because, you know, whatever is against God's law for me to do is against God's law for the government to do. Or anyone with a license from government to do. You know, it's like the homosexuals out there. They want a license from the state to get married, because God won't give them a license. They can't find, they open up the scripture and they find condemnation for their activity. God won't give us a license. Maybe we'll have another God. Thou shalt have no gods before me. You know, we need another lawgiver to license us to do evil. And I've had friends. I had a friend. His name is Jay. That's just the first name. That's all you're going to get from me. And he was a sheriff deputy. And you know what? The gospel made him quit being a deputy because his profession required him to break God's law. He could no longer be a deputy. There's a man of conscience. Very few Daniels out there today. Very few Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's out there today, because they don't want to give up their comfort and their livelihood, because they don't trust God. Mm-mm. God wouldn't expect that of them, would he? Well, would he? You know, should the whore stop whoring? Yeah, that's one you have to answer for yourself. Should the thief stop stealing? Should someone out there enforcing theft upon others and things that are against God's law stop doing that? Yes, they should. Well, we've run out of time. We'll pick up here next time on Cross the Border. In everything you say and everything you do, bless his holy name. Hallelujah.